Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to your tune, Trade Islam, Medium Wave 1548. And yes, inshallah, we're going to be joining Mufti Ilyas Saab. And during the course of the month of Ramadan, we're going to be having the Q&A program with Mufti Ilyas Hafidhahullah every Mondays, Wednesdays, as well as on Fridays. And Mufti Saab, inshallah, will be on air on Sundays as well. All right, any questions you have, any concerns, doubts, queries in your mind with regards to fasting in the month of Ramadan or any other general question, now's the chance to call us. The number to call is 0118541548, and you can send us your questions via SMS as well, and the number is 0825808070. It's 0825808070. Alright, we'd like to welcome Mufti Saab on the program. Mufti Ilyas Saab, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alright, Mufti Saab, Jazakallah for your time, and look forward to spending the next few weeks in Mufti Saab's company. Jazakallah for the time.
Jazakallah.
Alright. All right, any questions, we repeat the number, it's 0118541548. SMS number is 0825808070. First question, Mufti Saab, can a person take an injection whilst fasting?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. First of all, I would like to make a humble appeal to the listeners that they should try to listen regularly so that we do not have too many repeat questions. After a while, and then I am only a human being, I also get a little tired of repeating answers, and also I think we all get frustrated and nervous about it. So if you listen regularly, then you know that this has passed. Kad marra, mar chuka hai. Then we can make progress with new masail, and we can learn a lot. As far as injection is concerned, that we do know from some quarters, they are saying, yes, injection is just permissible. But we are saying that as a last resort, that you can utilize injection, and that will not nullify the fast. Not that my toe starts paining or I got slight headache, now I must take an injection. As a last resort, and nothing seems to be working, sleep, you cannot sleep, and this pain here is making you feel as if say the sky and the earth are becoming one, and you're getting drowsy and dizzy and delirious, then yes, as a last resort, you will utilize the injection for whatever the reason may be.
Okay.
But as soon as you start getting extremely sick, ill and feeble, then there is room, obviously, for permissibility, and you can take that injection. Upon taking that injection, it will not nullify the fast. And Deen of Islam, remember, is very easy, that for the person who is on journey, making jihad, and the person who is extremely ill, weak, feeble, that person, fasting is not, you can delay your fast and make the fast, inshallah, after Ramadan. So when you are able, capable, sane, and mature, and you are healthy, it is obligatory to keep the fast.
All right, JazakAllah for that explanation. The second question mentioning that I had a wisdom tooth that was removed. So if whilst fasting it bleeds and a few drops enter the stomach, what happens to the fast?
Once blood goes down the throat, it is going to nullify the fast. However, that you will not, due to that reason of nullification, you will not keep kafara and qaza. You will only keep qaza, meaning that because it was done involuntarily, unintentionally, then you will only be liable to recompensate by keeping a qaza, one for one fast, and kafara would not be necessary. Kafara of a fast, meaning that you have to keep the 60 fast, conservatively.
All right, JazakAllah. We can't further, inshallah. The SMS number is 0825808070. The number to call if you want to come live on the program, it's 011-854-1548. SMS question coming through stating that can a woman in hayz remove unwanted hair from the body?
If the female is feeling extremely uneasy, discomfort totally, and feeling totally dirty, etc., then obviously you may do so under extreme conditions. Yes.
All right. The question states, Mustab, can a person, or rather should a person, fast during pregnancy in the last 2 to 3 months before birth?
Person who is pregnant, that from the initial stages also, the Sharia has allowed certain people not to fast and given a concession. So a person should become a mufti. That's the only time we will allow unqualified people to assume the role of mufti, that they can seek a fatwa from their heart, will I be able to fast or not? If that person is able to fast, then they should fast. And if that person is not able to fast, then that person should not regard oneself as sinful and then start fasting and as a result cause havoc to the health, to the body, and cause havoc to the child which the woman is carrying. See, there are valid reasons for not observing the fast. One is journey, other one is sickness, pregnancy, suckling, intensity of heat, of hunger and thirst, intensity of hunger and thirst, not heat, weakness, old age, risk of life, jihad, unconsciousness, and insanity. So all this, Sharia has made it very easy. Now the pregnant woman, she will decide, and taking obviously consultation from her medical practitioner, that if she fasts, will it be detrimental for her or the baby? If she's able to fast, alhamdulillah, fast. If not, postpone it.
All right. All right, sir, JazakAllah for that. We go on further. We have two callers waiting. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to the first caller.
Hello?
Hello, Jee, brother. Assalamu alaikum.
Working with cancer, right? Lung cancer, and I have to take medication every day for the pain, because the pain is very severe.
Hmm.
So, the first time in my life, I mean, since I'm fasting, like, I will be like, maybe missing Ramadan, I don't know, because I have to take medication because the pain for the cancer is very, very severe.
Yeah. So, brother, you yourself have lung cancer.
Yeah.
But Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant you complete shifa, my brother. Complete, complete shifa.
Amen.
Shifa is from Allah's side.
I don't think maybe, I've seen other people when they said, no, you're not able to manage it because your pain is going to catch you.
Okay.
All right. Brother Mufti Sahib will respond. JazakAllah, and all of our listeners listening, inshallah, to you. Everybody making dua that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant you complete shifa, as well as all those not feeling well. May Allah's mercy be upon all of us. Ameen. Brother, JazakAllah. Allah make it easy. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Mufti Sahib.
We'll take this caller.
All right, let's take our next caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam. How are you, Maulana?
Alhamdulillah, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, shukar. I just want to know what's the masala regarding fasting, and if one is a traveler, what's the masala regarding to that? Should a person fast or shouldn't they fast?
All right, fasting while traveling. Any other question? Any other question you have, brother?
No, that's all.
All right, make dua fast as well, all right?
Okay.
JazakAllah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Jee, Mustafa.
First of all, the first brother, suffering from lung cancer, and obviously, he is in
pain,
a lot of pain, extreme pain, excruciating pain, and he has to take medication regularly. Now for him, he definitely Sharia will say that he should not fast, obviously, and he's not a sinner. You see, those who have got valid excuses for not fasting they should realize something, that they are not sinners. And that brother, obviously, Alhamdulillah, you have made a lot of dua and requested the listeners to make dua. We also make a lot of dua for such people. And they got concerned.
Mm.
And they are people healthy, walking around, not fasting. That is where last program I had last night, I commented upon that we should make some fikr about them, that those who are healthy, walking around, not fasting.
Mm.
This brother, he should give out fidya. First of all, fidya he will give out with this precondition, that if he regains his health and we make dua, he regains
it,
then he will keep those fast again. But if he wants to give out fidya and the doctors have told him that, listen, that you are in a bad shape, then he can give out fidya. However, fidya is same as Sadqatul Fitr, that within 10 days, inshallah, the figures will be out, that how much fidya, Sadqatul Fitr you have to give. That Sadqatul Fitr amount is the same amount for fidya. And the second question about Musafir, now Shariat allows a person who is a Musafir traveling more than 77 kilometers that he is allowed not to fast. However, that in our age, that we have got all the comforts and ease, and we have got the modern transport. So if a person wants to fast whilst he is fasting, then that is valid. If a person does not want to fast, again, the person should seek a ruling from his heart that I am going on a journey, but I am strong enough. I can fast. So the person should fast, especially those who are now taking flight out of the country to go to perform Umrah and to spend time in Ramzan in the blessed lands of Makkah and Medina. Now, they are also caught to this dilemma, should they fast or not? So most of them, Alhamdulillah, they fast because provisions are made on the flights that they will provide them with sehri or iftari as the case may be. So we should have some courage, make some himmat and fast. However, if a person is a musafir and does not fast, then he is not a sinner, she is not a sinner, and they can recompensate, make qaza, one missed fast for one fast.
Alright, so JazakAllah for that. We take one more question, thereafter we have a break for the 10 o'clock news. The question states with regards to papers containing Quran Karim ayat, is it permissible to burn it?
As a last resort, it will be permissible to do so. You'll be allowed at a last resort. If you cannot bury it, then as a last resort, you are going to resort to burning it.
Alright, JazakAllah. A few SMS questions have come through. What is the difference between fidya and kafara?
Fidya is a sum given out in lieu of a missed fast by a person who has got such an excuse not to fast, and generally as a thumb rule that excuse is permanent in nature. For example, old age, and whether the person is male, female.
Okay.
The person has got such an ailment that person will not be able to fast, has got a permanent chronic ailment, not allowing that person to fast. So a person who has become extremely weak due to old age or disease and has no hope of recovery and as a result cannot fast, has been allowed by Sharia not to fast but to give fidya. Now the fidya for the fast is similar to that of Faraz al-Wajib Salah. So the fidya for every fasting day missed is one sa' of wheat, which is equal to 1.6 kilograms of wheat, which is equal to 3.2 kilograms of barley, or the equivalent of the price in that year to be given to a poor and needy person. So the recipient of fidya is the recipient of zakat. Now, kafara is something else. Kafara is when a person willfully, intentionally, voluntarily breaks the fast. Now, when that person intentionally, willfully, voluntarily broke that fast, so that means that person is now in the Shariat, a sinner. So that person now has to fast 60. Kafara is a penalty, which the Shariat imposes upon a believer for flagrant violation of the sanctity of fasting during the month of Ramadan. A penalty of 60 consecutive days fasting is imposed for deliberately, voluntarily, willfully terminating or breaking the fast of Ramadan.
Right.
So that is the kafara. And kafara is fulfilled by, now if the person, for example, can't fast 60, then what he does? He frees a slave, which is not applicable these days. Then if he cannot do that, then he has to fast 60, but he must have no gap in that 60. And if he has no strength to fast, then feed 60 poor and hungry persons two meals. The condition is that the poor people must be the same people for both meals, or feed one person for 60 days two meals. It is not permissible to give one person on one day the food of 60 days. Or then the person has to give each of the 60 poor person the price of one sa of wheat. That means one sa is equal to 87.48 grams of wheat.
All right. So, JazakAllah for the explanation. We appreciate you. We can't further, inshallah, 10 past 10. Question coming through. It says, please explain istikhara. I'm scared and confused about marriage. Please make dua. May Allah grant a pious and caring and loving spouse. What is istikhara? Please explain.
So first of all, that prior to making istikhara, we should remember mashwara fawqal istikhara. That mashwara, consultation. That means consult with your family members. Consult with the elders in your family. Consult with your well-wishers. Consult with the ones you have got confidence in. Consult with the ulama. And then make a decision. If you cannot, after all that consultation, make a decision, then you make istikhara. Read two rakats of salat, whether in the day or the night, and wait for inclination. When you have inclination whether to do it, whether it is positive or negative, you will act accordingly.
All right.
And we make dua Allah Ta'ala grant those who are not married good, pious, righteous spouses.
Ameen, ameen. Yes, my engineer is smiling with this up. Allah grant you a good spouse. All right, SMS question stating, Muslim just wanted to know, is a woman allowed to take medication to stop her haid so that she can fast?
See, this question and also will apply to Hajj also. Because they also, they want to stop the haze. Now, first of all, let's do the fasting, and if we can also just make a few statements about the Hajj issue. As far as fasting is concerned, that we have to understand something, that Allah Jalla Majdahu has created us. And Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala knows the benefits of how he has created us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a woman a set pattern of life as far as the discharge of unwanted blood. Now this blood, if it stays in the body, the medical practitioners tell us, is harmful. That is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them the ability to discharge this blood, and it's called menstruation. Periods or monthlies, we refer to it as. Now, Allah in His divine wisdom has set a system. So if a person takes medication and via the medication stops that blood, then the fast, subsequent fast will be valid because there is no show of blood and it is so-called pure state. Therefore, the fast itself will be valid. But the health situation and the detrimental effects to the health subsequently, the person has to bear. Many are those who we know that after taking the medication, they say, okay, we are fasted. But after that, they say there is too many and too much of complications subsequently. So the person can decide that to take the medication, stop the flow of blood and fast, the fast to be valid, but the subsequent medical difficulties are to be borne. As far as the Hajj is concerned, yes, why we say there that the lady can take, because of tawaf and ziyarat has to be done in a pure state. And these days, the person, if they cannot get a flight, if they do not make the tawaf and ziyarat, then the difficulty in getting another flight out of Saudi Arabia will be difficult and tedious. So there we say, okay, take the medication, get into a state of purity, perform tawaf and ziyarah, and that is due to circumstances. So we will be more lenient in the Hajj situation. And the first situation, we do know from some quarters, they are saying, oh, it is absolutely permissible, nothing wrong with it. We are saying the fast will be valid, but the subsequent medical difficulties will have to be observed.
All right, wonderful. Jazakallah. We go on further. The number to call, we remind you, is 0118541548. Cell phone number to send your SMS questions is 0825808070. We have 15 minutes left before termination. Does internal examinations multi stop at a gynae during pregnancy nullify the fast?
If the examination is wet in nature, meaning that during that examination some ointment or some gel was utilized, then definitely that fast broke. And that the fast breaking will mean that the female will have to keep one qaza, meaning for that fast will automatically break. And the recompensation will be one qaza, no kafara. If it is a dry examination, then it will not invalidate the fast, but definitely it's going to be makruh.
All right. This SMS question states, Assalamu alaikum, it says, I have a question. Can we read qada'i umri for all the namazes all together? For example, it says, two rakats of Fajr, four of Zuhr, four of Asr, three of Maghrib, and 4+3 witr of Isha. Or must qaza umri be read at each of the namaz times? Please advise.
on our website, there is a book. The book is entitled Qaza Salat, Nafil Salat, Sunnat Salat. And our website, alislam.co.za. Now, in that book, we have written the sequence of a recommended sequence that prior to Zohar, you perform the Zohar Qaza, prior to Asr, you perform the Asr Salat, prior to Maghrib, you perform the Maghrib Salat, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
However, that is recommended. Another method is that you will calculate how many Fajr you owe. How many Fajr have to be made Qaza? For example, if you come to a figure for 2,000, then you can start making now. And every time you make Qaza, you make intention Qaza, Umri or Fajr, and continue in that strain and that light and that method until you complete the Fajr, and then you proceed to perform the Qaza of Zuhur, and after that Asr, then Maghrib, Isha, and Witr. Witr, Qaza has to be made. The rule is Qaza is made for Faraz and Qaza is made for Wajib. There is no Qaza for Sunnah as a rule when you make it as far as Umri is concerned. Now, the questioner has said that they want to make all this in one sitting. That is absolutely permissible. That a person can do, and this is very good, that especially in this month of Ramadan, when spiritual levels are higher generally, then one should endeavor to make a lot of qaza e umri also.
Alright, Jazakallah. We go on further, we have another caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Ji.
Mulana, to ask you, a baby is born and he got a gift with cash. Can you use it to buy the napkin and a pram and a cot?
Okay. Muftisab will respond to that, alright?
Okay.
Jazakallah. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
Muftisab.
This is a good question. Ji. Because remember when they are gifting the child, then technically they are handing the money over to the custodian of the child, to the guardian of the child. And the custodian and the guardian of the child will utilize that money for the benefit of the child. And the custodian has to be obviously the well-wisher of the child. So urf, common law, will come into action, meaning that when you are giving the gift to the child, then you are technically handing over the responsibility of expenditure to the custodian. So the custodian, alhamdulillah, can utilize, it is legal, permissible for the custodian, the parent obviously, to spend on behalf of the child for the child. That's one. Secondly, if the family is wealthy, affluent, and if they want to keep the money aside for the child, then that is also good, that is also permissible. And here also I would just like to mention, there is a custom and a ritual that has come into action, that when you go to see a newborn baby, then you have to take a gift, or you have to put some money in the hand of the father or mother. Both these are rituals and customs. And the people who go should know this is not faraz, wajib, sunnat. And the people who are visited, they should also, if they get no gift, no 50, 100 rand in the hand, then they also should realize that there is nothing wrong with this.
Alright, Jazakallah. We go on further, it's 20 past 10. The question's coming through. It says, if in without salah in jamaat, if before a person could finish the dua in khunut, the imam goes into ruku, what should the person do?
Go into ruku with the imam.
Alright. The other question states, can Shafi'is follow a Hanafi imam in witr?
It is permissible to do so.
Alright. If I didn't, it says, complete my Qur'an Kareem last year and I'm on 14th para and I didn't read the whole year, do I carry on from the 14th para or do I start off a new khatam?
Carry on from the 14th para.
Alright. Does any journey of 48 miles make one musafir, even if one's destinations are not 48 miles from home?
Hal that? What's happening there?
It says,
read again slowly.
Does any journey of 48 miles make one musafir, even if one's destination are not 48 miles from home?
Okay. We request that the sender to send it in again, because it's not very clear.
It's not okay.
77 kilometers will make one a musafir. However, that a person must know that prior to becoming a musafir, one must have intention of musafir. So intention is very important. That will classify a person to become a musafir.
So I think what he wants to say is, say for example, he's going from here to Port Gitazras. Alright, and en route he stops. Okay, before he reaches the destination, he stops at 2-3 different places. So does he become a musafir then?
Once he leaves his locality, his zone, then he is musafir. And if he makes 2 stops before Portis, then Portis or Portis Room, whatever it is, then on route he is classified musafir.
All right, Jazakallah. So if his blood is taken out of the body, does this break the fast?
In this month of Ramadan, then there are many of those who are going to have numerous blood tests. For example, those who are diabetic, they will be constantly pricking themselves to have their blood tested. That will not invalidate the fast. Then there are others who perhaps are going for some blood test post-operative. So they will be taking blood. That will not invalidate the fast.
All right. So a question from a sister stating that please explain how ladies should read Taraweeh Salah. Should we read the 20 rakats in 2 or 4 sunnats? Please explain.
As far as the ladies, there is a lot of concessions made for them. And here also the men should also realize that when you begin the 20 rakat Taraweeh Salah, then one niyat suffices for all 20. At the beginning of the first rakat, you make intention, Ya Allah, I'm making 20 rakats of Salatul Taraweeh. That is sufficient. Every two you do not have to make. But if you did not make the first, at the first, then obviously at every two you're going to start making. The females, they can make Taraweeh Salat in the units of 2, 4, 6, 8. Fatawa Mahmudiya clearly states you they can make the Taraweeh Salat 8 rakat. Now, explaining this, 2 rakat, after 2 rakat, obviously, you would read the At-Tayyiyat, Durud Ibrahim, and Dua al-Salam, which you would make it in the units of 4, like how you perform 4 rakat Zuhr Salat, same like that.
Right.
If you would make it units of 6, then you would make 2, read At-Tayyiyat, stand up. After 4, read At-Tayyiyat, stand up. After 6, At-Tayyiyat, Durud Ibrahim, Dua al-Salam. If you would make it in units of 8, after every 2, you would make At-Tayyiyat, and on your 8th rakat, you are going to make At-Tayyiyat, you will read At-Tayyiyat, Durud Ibrahim, Dua, and terminate with Salam.
All right. We can't further, inshallah, about 4.5 minutes left. The question states, I stay 1 kilometer away from the masjid and I don't hear the adhan. We're making Taraweeh at my house. Do we have to read Isha in the masjid? How can we make Jamaat at home?
It is better to make it in the masjid because Salat individually performed is rewarded. Salat with Jamaat increases the reward. Salat in Jamaat, in the Jamaat Khana, further increases the reward. Salat in Jamaat, in the Masjid, will enhance tremendously the reward. And after that, it will go up till the other masajids of the world, your Jamia Masjid. Then, obviously, at the top, we have got Masjid al-Haram in Makkah, followed by Masjid al Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, followed by Masjid Aqsa, followed by Masjid Quba. Now, so it is better if you all can make some organization, intizam, that you can read your salat in the masjid and then come back and make your taraweeh, then that will be highly recommended. However, if you make your salat in the place which is 1 kilometer away from the masjid, your salat with Jamaat, Isha salat with Jamaat, is valid.
All right. We go on further. We have a caller. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum salam.
Ji, sister.
I would like to ask Mufti one question, please.
Go ahead.
Assalamu alaikum, Mufti sahab. Mufti sahab, I want to find out 9 karat jewelry. Do you have to pay zakat on it?
Have you got other jewelry?
No. I had other jewelry which my mother gave us, but I gave it to my sister because I can't afford to pay.
Okay, I will answer on the angel.
Jazakallah for the question, sister.
Will you answer?
He'll answer, Ji.
Okay.
All right. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Alaikum salam.
These days, the gold price is escalating, and the gold price is soaring. And that is why the Mehr Fatimi has gone up so high. Now, 9 carat, I do not know. I'm not a jeweler. I do not know the value of it. If the value of it is more than the zakat nisab of gold, then obviously they're going to pay zakat on it. Maulana, do you know the nisab yet?
Not at this point in time, sir.
Inshallah, by what we call next session is Friday. Friday, inshallah, you keep that in front of you, because this is going to be a frequently asked question, that what is the zakat nisab. So once we know the zakat nisab, then we can also advise the listeners. So you evaluate, have that 9-carat gold evaluated, and if it is over the zakat nisab, then you pay zakat on it.
All right, jazakallah. We go on further. Do we have another caller? No. The question says, Muhtasab, there's a great need for masjid in Mozambique presently. Should I donate to one complete masjid of 22,000 rands, or donate 1,000 rands to 22 different masjids in the same place? Which is more rewarding?
Both are equally rewarding, because you are contributing to masjid. And you are aiding the construction of masjid. And if you go down personally, or you are certain that that place where you are contributing, and there is going to be a masjid there, and there is a dire need for it, a valid need for it, that people will care for that masjid after that by populating it, making it abad, and they will maintain it properly, and they have got the infrastructure to upkeep that masjid, then it is better to contribute to one masjid and then follow it up by inserting a proper infrastructure for its maintenance. Then in that case, build that one masjid and put the mechanisms in place. Otherwise, if you do not have the ability to do what we have stated, contribute to 22 projects.
SubhanAllah, may Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reward them for their intentions and for the contributions. The hadith mentions that man bana lillahi masjida bana Allah lahu baytan fil jannah, or kama qal, a person who builds a house for Allah, that is a masjid, Allah builds for him a house in Jannah. But with that last question, if a person is late for Fajr Salah or any other namaz, that is a female, can a person just make the farz and leave out the sunnah?
If there is no time, absolutely no time, to make the two sunnah, then you will make the fajr. Remember that when we are stressing here, absolutely no time, then you will make only the farz. There are too many virtues recorded for performing of the two rakat sunnah of fajr. Nabi Akram sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith has stated that even if horses are trampling over you, you should perform the two rakats of sunnah. Even if you have to crawl on ice, perform the two rakats of sunnah, of fajr. So there is tremendous virtue and importance attached to performance of two rakats of fajr salah. However, that if you start fajr salah and the sun rises, your salat is invalid. So if there is no time, then you make only the two fajr farz.
All right. Mr. Jazakallah for the wonderful program. We have learned a lot. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala reward you in abundance for your time in your dedication. I am abiding by the time of the sab. It's now 30 minutes past 10 o'clock, spot on.
Jazakallah.
Jazakallah. Any final advice, inshallah, before we terminate?
That first of all, that alhamdulillah, this week for Jummah, we will be in Balfour. However, we appeal to the listeners that alhamdulillah, the month of Ramadan has dawned, to draw a simple timetable of the activities, 24-hour activities, what they are going to do and how they are going to take maximum benefit from the golden month of Ramadan. And another opportunity has been granted to us, so we should focus on the opportunity afforded to us. So many have gone by and are not with us, and alhamdulillah, Allah Jalla Majdahu has blessed us that we are alive. So we should value life, time, opportunity, and strive to do good actions. And this is an excellent month to remove all evil character, bad character traits and habits, like smoking, wasting time, doing useless things, vain activities. So all that can be done away in this blessed month of Ramadan. Also, that as time goes on, that when Maulana Chara Sahib gives me the opportunity to say a few things after the Q&A session, I will try to discuss one law that is commonly misunderstood so that we can all educate ourselves.
Sure. Jazakallah. So, we'll talk again, inshallah, Friday.
Inshallah.
Jazakallah. Fi amanillah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.